say something at this point, beloved, even as the chorus, "Who is like unto thee," is being brought to my attention by two or three people today, and the comment has been that it's been a great blessing to their hearts, even as it was to me. But a question was asked me about it that has been asked me before. It's concerning the words "fearful in praises." Fearful in praises. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. Who is like unto thee? You know that it's the 11th verse of that 15th chapter of Exodus. And it's this phrase, as I've said, "fearful in praises." What does it mean, I've been asked? Well, beloved, it means just this: that God had slaughtered the king and all the chosen men and charioteers and all the finest flower of the manhood of Egypt that hadn't already been destroyed, plus firstborn, in the judgment of the last plague. It was a fearful thing that God did, although they praised him for it. And in the end, praise is not a flippant thing. The heart that always wants to abide in flippancy hasn't really come to the terribleness. This is what it means in the Old Testament. Terrible. Our God doeth terrible things, and he does. Amen. He does. Bless God. He does. It's a fearful thing. And it brings us to this place, O Lord, who's like thee among the gods? To be saved is a joyful thing, but I tell you, it's not a light thing. It's weighty. It's tremendous. They praised him, O Lord, fearful in praises. Glory. Is he fearful in praises to you? Amen. Let the children put away childish things. Let them become men in understanding. And let the Lord teach us the great truth. Who is like unto God? Who is he? You and I can't deny the fact that he's done some absolutely tremendous and terrible things. Do you know? Do you praise God? You've got a clean life tonight? Do you? Listen. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for filth, burnt them, man, woman and child, for sodomy. Burnt them. How about that? Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. Destroyed seven nations in Canaan, or he wanted to. The children of Israel wouldn't be obedient. So they lost their promised land, ultimately, through disobedience, utter destruction. Seven nations, greater and mightier than Israel, which was a fairly large nation by the time it had reached the promised land. Destroyed them. Leave nothing to breathe, he said. That's why people say, oh, the God of the Old Testament can't be the same as the God of the New Testament. Don't you make any mistake about it. He is. It's sheerest grace, beloved. to us today. We all deserved the same treatment. Hallelujah. And this will give us an appreciation of Calvary. What Jesus suffered there, we shall never be able to measure. Never. God does do fearful things. We praise Him. We praise Him. In the end, face it, beloved, He's going to incinerate the earth and everybody upon it. Every living thing that moves and breathes, He's going to incinerate. Seeing that we're talking about fire, He's going to incinerate it. That's why you've got to be baptized in fire. Now, God gives you the opportunity of having an all-filled experience to be baptized in the fire of Calvary, the same love that burned on the cross. That's right. It's a marvelous, tremendous, the fire of God's judgments against sin and upon His Son was so tremendous at the cross, and you come into the love part of it that burned in the heart of Jesus, that kept Him there for you and for me. The baptism in the Spirit is nothing else than an experience of the heart of the Christ. You understand that? I hope you do. And you come out of all these other lights and things about it being something for power, for service. I hope you understand the truth and what it's all about. Power for service. Only that service on the cross. That's the service. Then you'll be a witness to me, he said. You'll be endued with power from on high. And you'll be a witness to me. Folks have so little understood. And men have so cheaply handed out these things. It is an inclusion, and what a privilege for every one of us tonight to come into the heart of the crucified. Hallelujah. There. That's what the baptism in the Spirit's all about. Into the life of God. Into the glory of the uncrushable and the undefeatable. Into the wonder of the man that conquered sin and death and hell and devils and the devil himself. Hallelujah. The man who finished time and started time. For he ended the old dispensation and he started anew. Amen. That's why he said he's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Have you ever known this mighty, glorious inclusion, this envelopment, this immersion into the heart of Christ? You'll have a pure heart then. God will have burned the sin out of you. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Fearful in praises. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the babes enjoy themselves, but let the men be men. Glory be to God. Let understanding overtake and destroy ignorance. And let power be the power of uttermost love. And let service be seen as nothing else than an experience of Calvary. And then time and events and journeyings and activities mean nothing for the glorious glimpse and the experience of Calvary. nothing. Now may the Lord move us into this then. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? And people talk about holiness as though it's that. I want to tell you that holiness is the glory. What did you think holiness was? You haven't got the glory unless you've got the holiness. Nobody has. It's a figment of the imagination. Glorious in holiness. Hallelujah. They see the glory. They see God, and what do they say now? Can you hear them? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God. They're saying it now. Holy. Because they see the glory. The glorious one. Glorious in holiness. Fearful in praise. Hallelujah. When you praise God, you've got a fear to sin anymore. And fear to do anything that will displease Him. Oh, not the craven fear that you might be banished to hell, but the wonderful, awesome dread experience and worship and love of your Father. That's what it's got to be. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. God, give me grace to live it and power to preach it. Amen. And God bring us off all the lights and things. I don't know. I mean, I shall probably jump about and clap my hands in a minute. I don't mean that. I mean this lightsomeness of thought and thinking. This dispatching these great things almost to limbo. Bringing us to the place of appreciation and understanding. Amen. Who is like unto thee? Now do you understand what fearful in praises is? That's right. Carry that over into every part of your life when you praise Him. We don't always have to examine the depths of it or the extent of it. But sometimes it's good for us to look at it squarely and understand which way we're moving. You haven't experienced Calvary properly. You've had the benefits of it. You've had the benefits. You've been forgiven. They had the benefits of Calvary way back there before God ever instituted the law. That's so far-reaching. Backwards and forwards, is it? The blessed cross and what God was going to do. They had the benefits of Calvary under the old legal system. You see, I don't know whether you understand this. Healings and blessings and forgivings and sanctifyings and presences and revelations and prophesyings. And I don't know what. They had it all. But who are they who've been baptized into this? Who are they? And you haven't really come into the baptism until you've come there. I might have enlightened your understanding a bit about it tonight. You're not supposed to have known all that I've said, particularly the usefulness of people like me is that they put into words the things you know. And you know what I've said to be true. I've only given you light to your mind. That's all I've done. But the wicked and carnal mind rejects it. That's how you know whether your mind's carnal or not. But when the truth is spoken, you rebel against it. That's how you know what you are. Amen. And you and I, we can talk about the blood of his cross. We can talk about the forgiveness from the cross and preach on Father, forgive them. We can talk about the other cries of the cross. I thirst and say, let's go and have a drink. For basically, Jesus, being the basic original man, had to cry out the things that all men must cry. And he cried them for them when they were too dead to know to cry them. I thirst. He cried that for you. You can't say you can't drink the Spirit then. For he cried it for you. The infallible man, the truth, the understanding of your makeup, the slayer of your personal sin infiltrated ego. He slew it. That's what he went to the cross for. But he was your great crier. Hallelujah. God heard him. And you can drink tonight. You can have all these things. You can have exoneration because of the cross. You can have justification. You can have sanctification. But you'll not have regeneration until you're baptized into his heart. Amen. That's when his love will do everything. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And in his heart, he carried you through the grave and up into resurrection and up into the throne. Amen. Here then is the wonder of love that you and I will never be able to measure. Here then is the end of all naggings and doubts. Here is something which isn't armor, because you don't need armor to keep you from the devil when you're there. For the devil never got into Jesus' heart. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. Holiness doesn't need any protection. It's glory. It's fire. It's wondrous love carrying you out into the place where you're untouchable and unreachable. The root of the word holiness is separation. Out there. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants us to understand these things. He wants us to be awakened unto it. He wants us to live in the glory of it. He wants us to move into the reality of it. He wants us to cease from self and our little ways. He wants to come into his great ways. Who is like unto thee, O Lord of gods? That's the way that they talked about his greatness. This is the opening phrase of the verse. Oh Lord, glory. God wants us to move in here, beloved. Have you ever really moved into it? Come on. Let's sing it together. Don't touch that piano, George. Leave that alone. Put the top down now. Let's praise God. That on the day of Pentecost, everybody in that upper room, 120 of them, looking round, saw flames, cloven tongues, like as a fire, rising from the head of every one that was baptized in the Spirit. Why do you think? Why do you think? Well, the church that was born that day was the body of Jesus Christ. And the body of the offering has to be burned. That's why. And the heart is always in the body. And the burning love of Jesus was consuming. And they were burning in love to Jesus. The whole burnt offering had to be burned. Hallelujah. That's why they saw tongues of fire. That was where the fire fell and consumed the offering. Have you had a baptism like that? Have you had a Pentecost like that? Have you? Have you ever thought why Jesus was never burned? He was the offering. Well, the fire came on his body on the day of Pentecost, burning in love's pure devotion. We sing it in that lovely hymn 42, isn't it? Don't ask for it after this because we won't sing it. We will live or die for thee. Hallelujah. That's the spirit, isn't it? All right, now we're going to sing the heart of God. Some people change it from near to the heart of God to within the heart of God, but you can sing it as you wish. Number 97. Let's ride, shall we?